ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 24. Hastau.
Hastau.
That is Hastau.
Hastau.
Ruruhatu.
Ruruhatu.
Tasya.
Nana.
Karma.
Shikirshaya.
Tayo. To Balavan, Indra, Adanam, Ubaya, Ashrayam, Hastauruhatus Tasya,
Nana Karma Tikishaya,
Ayosu Balavan Indra, Adana Ubayashrayam, Hastauruhatus Tasya,
Nana
Karma Chikishaya,
Kayustu Balavan Indra,
Adana Ubayashrayam, Hastau. It's really Hastau. What's that? Hastau. Otherwise it would be just H-A-S-T-O, who's Hasto. It's Hastau. The hands. Ruruhatu.
Manifested.
Tasya.
His.
Nana. Various. Karma.
Work.
Shikirshaya,
being so
desirous, tayo, of them,
however,
balavan,
to give strength,
Indra,
the demigod in heaven,
adanam,
activities of the hand,
Ubaya,
Ashrayam,
depending on both the demigod and the hand. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, when the Supreme Person desired to perform varieties of work, the two hands and the controlling strength in Indra, the demigod in heaven, became manifested, as also the acts dependent on both the hands and the demigod. Purport. In every item, we can note with profit that the sense organs of the living entities are never independent at any stage. The Lord is known as the Lord of the senses, Rishikesha. Thus the sense organs of the living entities are manifested by the will of the Lord, and each organ is controlled by a certain type of demigod. No one therefore can claim any proprietorship of the senses. The living entities controlled by the senses. The senses are controlled by the demigods, and the demigods are the servants of the Supreme Lord. That is the arrangement in the system of creation. The whole thing is controlled ultimately by the Supreme Lord, and there is no independence either of the material nature or the living entity. The illusion living entity who claims to be the Lord of his senses is under the clutches of the external energy of the Lord. As long as the living entity continues to be puffed up by his tiny existence, he is to be understood to be under the stringent control of the external energy of the Lord, and there is no question of liberation from the clutches of illusion, maya, however much one may declare himself a liberated soul. Hastau ruhu tustasya nana karma chikirshaya tayos tu balavanindra adhanam upayashrayam. Thereafter, when the Supreme Person desired to perform varieties of work, the two hands and the controlling strength and Indra, the demigod in heaven, became manifested as also the acts dependent on both the hands and the demigod. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvi Shesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharana. Position of the soul is being clarified here in these verses, that the soul is not independent, nor is the soul the body, nor the mind, nor any of the senses, either working senses or knowledge acquiring senses. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, naiva kinchit karomiti yukta yukto manyeta tattvavit pashan shrinvan srishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan pralapan vishijan grinan umishan nimishan api indriyar indiyarteshu vartanta iti darya. That a person in the divine consciousness will engage in seeing and hearing and touching and smelling, always knows within himself that he does nothing at all. Because while engaged in, actually we left out a few things there, while dreaming and breathing and eating and going, always knows within himself that he does nothing at all, because while speaking and receiving and evacuating and opening and closing his eyes, he knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. In other words, we have to understand that we're not only not this body, but we're not the doer of the activities. Not that we have no responsibility, but what we think is our present responsibility or our present power in the material world is different from reality. The soul, he gets a position in the material world according to his desire. And that desire has different levels, thinking, feeling, and willing. So if the soul is simply thinking about doing something, if he's identifying with a certain thought, then that's desire. And when the soul feels about doing something, that further implicates the soul in even more of a desire. Not only does the soul identify with some material thought, but actually becomes absorbed in the particular feeling that accompanies that thought. And then it further becomes implicated by willing. So the soul in the material world becomes implicated in material activities principally because of the mind, and becomes further implicated, or becomes implicated to different degrees in different activities according to different intensities of thinking, feeling, and willing. And when the soul wills to do something, it is not that simply by willing to do something, automatically the activity is done. No, actually the soul, thinking, feeling, willing, is not independent. There are five causes for the accomplishment of any kind of work. Daivam. Adishtanam. Actually, the first one is Adishtanam. Adishtanam tata karata karanam chapritag vidan vividas chapritag chesta daivam evatra panchama. So, Adishtanam means the particular place of the activity. So, the place that we're performing our present activities is this body. This is our field of activity. Tata karta, and we're the karta, we're the doer in the sense that we're desiring. Desire, as I said, may manifest itself to different intensities, either thinking or feeling or willing. But it's all just desire. So the soul has the capacity to desire, and he's in a particular place, so his desires may be beyond this particular body that we're presently in. Just like in dreams, we may desire so many things which have nothing to do with this desire, with this present body. But even if we desire something that this body is not capable of doing, then it's simply useless. We'll simply be wasting our time. If we desire to fly, then we'll just be wasting our time. At least with the present body. We may make some arrangement using our intelligence to build an airplane. So that way we may be able to fly, but without some other arrangement, this body is not capable of flying unless one goes through the mystic yoga process. So one has to work appropriately to one's present body. Tathakarta karanam cha pritag vivitas cha pritag chesta. So daivam, so chesta means the activity. Due to the soul's putting his desires into the body or acquiring a false ego, therefore intelligence is supplied to how to carry out different types of activities. In other words, when the soul agrees or desires in terms of the body, then due to his intelligence being covered over, then a false ego is given by which one imagines himself to be the doer of the activities. Well, actually, all the soul is doing is to agree to act in Maya, that's all. And then the body performs different activities, and the soul misidentifies himself with those activities due to the false ego. So that's called chesta and daiva. It is all controlled by higher power. Maya dakshena prakriti siyate sacharacharam hetuna nena kundaya jagati pari vartate. Krishna says this material nature is working under my direction. It's not working under our direction. It's working under Krishna's direction. So Krishna is in our heart, and he senses our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. So Krishna senses our desire, and he arranges to have that desire fulfilled according to what we deserve by the material energy. So the material energy arranges itself appropriately, according to what we deserve and desire. So how he does this you have to ask Krishna. He's quite intelligent. He has all these powers and he does it. I can't really explain exactly how he does it, but he's the one who does it. So he has the planets moving their orbits, and he knows exactly what we desire and deserve, and we get exactly what we desire and deserve under the control of the super soul through the agency of the material energy. Material energy includes the demigods and the different sub-demigods, and ultimately this body, the mind, intelligence. These things are supplied accordingly. Now, of course, if one takes shelter of Krishna directly, then if one desires in terms of Krishna, then instead of being illusioned by our activities, we become enlightened. That's called devotional service. We find out what Krishna wants us to do rather than being simply carried along by the dictation of the mind and senses. The material energy, the mind will pop up with so many desires in terms of the senses according to our past activities. That's called karma. And if we simply go along with how we're being dictated to by the mind and senses, then we simply create further karma, further reactions in the future to suffer or so-called enjoy. But when we think of what Krishna wants us to do, then Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can utilize his present mind and senses and intelligence and engage in his service. That's called devotional service. And the first thing is that the soul has to think, karomiti. Or naiva kinchit karomiti. Naiva na eva. No, not certainly. Na means not. Eva certainly. Karo miti manyata. So naiva kinchit. Kinchit means anything. Not that we're doing something, we're not doing anything in the material world. except for desiring. So, kinchit karomiti. I'm not doing anything. My naiva kinchit karomiti yukta. So, only one who's engaged, yukto, only one who's actually engaged in devotional service can understand this completely. When one is connected with Krishna, then Krishna, in the light of the awareness of Krishna, one can understand everything properly. But when one is not connected with Krishna, then one imagines himself the doer. So that means if we're thinking of himself the doers, that means we're not connected with Krishna. And why are we not connected with Krishna? Because we're wanting to do something independently of Krishna. As soon as we want to do something independently of Krishna, as soon as we're not meditating upon trying to please Krishna, then Maya will take away our intelligence. Dhyayato vishyam pumsam sangasteshu pajayate. So this is the law of nature. We contemplate doing something independently of Krishna, then lust will be there, then anger and illusion and loss of memory, intelligence becoming bewildered, and will be fully absorbed in material ideas. An illusion. So, yukta, only one who's actually engaged in Krishna service, manyeta, can think properly. Karhichit. Yukta manyate kari, at any time. And what is that thinking properly? Pashan, to see. Shrinvan, to hear. Sprishan, to touch. Jigran, to smell. And Ashnan. So these are the activities of knowledge acquiring senses. To see, to hear, to touch, to smell, and to taste. Ashnan, to eat. So then there is the activities of the mind. Shwapan. To dream. The material world is simply one dream, that we're the Lord, that I'm Krishna, and this is my pleasure energy here. So the material world means simply dream like that, in different species of life, that I am the Lord, I am enjoying, and these are my objects of enjoyment. This is my Vaikuntha I've created by myself, by my own energies. So this is called Shvapan, the principle, desire of the mind, the material consciousness, and Shvasan. To carry it out, we have to breathe. We need energy. So Shvasan. And Pralapan, now there's the active senses, the senses to perform activities. Pralapan means to vibrate with the tongue to speak. And Vishan. Vishrijan, and Grina, evacuating, receiving, and opening, Umishan, Nimishanapi, opening and closing the eyes. So whether we're moving about, or we're opening and closing the eyes, or gacha, actually the word was gachan, to move about. So, Ashnan gachan. So the active sense is the walking about, gachan. And swapan to dream, shwasan to breathe, and pralapan to talk, to evacuate and receive, to open and close the eyes. That only the material senses are actually engaged with their objects. So this is called dharyan. Dharyan, like dharana. To contemplate, to think about. So these are things to contemplate, to think about. Vartanta iti dharya. So a person who is self-realized, he thinks like that. He contemplates these things. That I'm actually not doing anything with this body, but I have a choice. I have a choice to think myself to be the body and the doer and become absorbed in a world of illusion. Or I can identify myself with Krishna and desire that this body be utilized in Krishna's service and become aloof from the activities of the senses. So I may not be able to change what I'm doing, But I can change my consciousness, either to think myself to be the body and the doer and to take credit from what we're doing or lament over what we're doing, or I can identify ourselves with Krishna and therefore desire or find out what Krishna wants me to do and then desire to do that. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste vasamvachi naiva dware pare dehi naiva korvanakarya. So the embodied sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukhamvasi. So in the living entity he controls his nature and renounces all activities, then the soul lives happily in the body of nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done. So this controlling the nature, what does that mean? What control? We said we're not doing anything. Now we're saying control. What do we have to control? We have to control our desire. And what desire do we have to control? Simply this desire to be independent of Krishna. As soon as we're identified with desires, in other words, we've been trying to do it since time immemorial, and this body is like a machine. It's a yantra. And the machine is so programmed that constantly there'll be so many desires arising in the heart all the time. You're the one. You're the one. You're it. And if you're not it now, you'll be it in the future. I got a plan for you. So many desires arise in the heart. You're not Das. You're Ishvara. You may not be a big Ishvara now, but don't wait. Just wait. In the future, a little practice, and who knows where you're going to wind up, kid. You'll make it big time in this world. So the mind is constantly just rising all these desires, and as soon as we take hold of one, then we become captured by it. And what's the symptom of becoming captured by Maya is that we're in one of the three modes of nature. So where is your question of becoming captured by Maya when we're 24 hours a day in Maya? We've already been captured long ago by Maya. And when we move a little bit from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, we think, now I'm free. Before, I was captured by Maya, but now I'm a little bit in the mode of passion, so now I've made it. I'm in the free lightness. You know. Just like a cow may be tied by the nose, and it has a very limited amount of freedom because the rope is limited. And then you let the rope out a little bit, and the cow thinks, now I'm free. More free than before, but compared to the freedom, it is still quite entangled by the rope. So the three gunas, even goodness, passion, ignorance, may progressively give greater freedom to the soul, but unless the soul comes back to its original position of gopi paratapara kamalaya dasa dasa anudasa, agreeing to become the servant of Krishna, then he's always bound up. Of course, becoming a servant of the servant of Krishna doesn't mean to become a slave of Krishna. This is the material conception that the most horrible thing would be just be a servant of the servant of the servant. If you tell someone, yes, we have a perfect process and you can become the servant of the servant of the servant, people think, oh my God, these people are crazy. The last thing anyone in the material world wants to become is a servant of the servant. But when one becomes Krishna's servant or the servant of Krishna's servants, then it is a reciprocal relationship. It is not simply one, you know, I'm the servant and everyone uses me as a doormat to step on. I become such a low servant and everyone walks by me and steps on me. Thinks, there's no harm stepping on the servant to the servant to the servant. Now in the spiritual world, it's reciprocal. One becomes Krishna's servant, and he reciprocates also by rendering even more service to the devotee than the servant can imagine. And similarly, all of Krishna's servants, they're all in the mood of service. Even Krishna's incarnations are all in the mood of service. So everyone in the spiritual world is considering themselves the servant of the servant. It's not we'll feel out of place. We'll go back to the spiritual world and they think, oh, I want that soul. He seems like a good servant. We need a servant here. Put him to work. It's about time he came back here, you know, cleaned the house. No, everyone there is in the mood of service, and the more one is in the mood of service, one becomes more prominent. And no one can compete with the mood of service of Srimati Radharani. She's completely absorbed in the mood of loving service. So the service in the spiritual world is qualitatively different from service in the material world. Where the more one becomes tries to become the Ishvara, the more actually one becomes the servant of the material energy. And the more one becomes the servant of Krishna, the more one becomes actually the master of the material energy and the master of everything. So trying to become a servant, you get the opposite result. You become more of control, the controller. And the more one tries to become a controller, the more one actually becomes the servant. Therefore, the devotees, the idea of becoming a servant is not horrible like in the material conception of life. Anyway, if one doesn't want to become the servant, then one will have to become bewildered by illusion. Nothing much will change except that instead of becoming enlightened, one will become illusion. Therefore, the devotees, they don't endeavor for futile, useless activities exemplified by material consciousness. Just like presently people are trying to become the master of the material energy. So they're very proud of their attempt with computers and cars and airplanes. But actually, they become more and more dependent on these things. So much so that just in order to maintain society, people have to work so hard to maintain these airplanes, maintain these cars, maintain all their different facilities. The sense enjoyment, they have to work harder and harder, and there's no end. Not that they're actually enjoying, they're suffering because of the air pollution, because of all the noise, and all the envy, and all these different byproducts of working in illusion, they all cause more and more kleshas, more and more suffering. And those who are trying to utilize the energy in Krishna's service, then gradually, as one becomes free, from misidentifying with his body and mind, as one's intelligence becomes purified, one's devotion to Krishna is awakened, then, in spite of all the problems that may be for the body and the mind, one does not identify oneself with these things. One becomes aloof. And therefore one can live happily in the city of the nine gates, neither working nor causing work to be done. Therefore the soul, his first business is to find out what Krishna wants, and then to identify with that, to desire that. Then if we find out what Krishna wants, we identify ourselves with that, desire that, then Krishna will make all arrangements to fulfill those desires. And even if he doesn't make the arrangements to fulfill those desires, still, simply by desiring that, one is liberated from all kinds of material conceptions. But whether externally one is successful or not, one becomes perfect in one's activities. One becomes conscious of Krishna. Just like Jatayu. Jatayu fought on behalf of Lord Ramachandra against Ravana. He lost, but he didn't really lose because he gained Ramachandra's affection. And therefore he certainly gained something very unlimited and great and eternal. Hanuman, he won, but he also gained Lord Ramachandra's affection. But we honor both Jatayu and Hanuman equally. Not that we don't care to hear about Jatayu's activities because he was a loser. No, Jatayu actually invokes even more affection sometimes than even Hanuman does because of his sacrifice to Lord Ramachandra. So that's our business, is to try to sacrifice our energy for Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his mercy, has not made it very difficult. He's not asking us to pick up boulders and throw them into the ocean. He's asking us to simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hear about Krishna, give up our false ego. It's the only thing we really have to give up, is a false ego and a few false activities based upon these false ego. This indriyarteshu, this engagement in simply gratifying the senses, indriyani, indriyarteshu, and think of ourselves simply as Krishna servants. The more we do that, the more we make progress, the more we become liberated from this false ego, then the more we can happily meditate upon Krishna and his associates, their activities, and feel the actual environment of the spiritual world, which is only absorbed in loving exchanges based upon trying to please Krishna and his devotees. So that atmosphere of devotion, the atmosphere that's generated from a service attitude, that's the atmosphere of pleasure. And the atmosphere that's generated from the idea that I'm the Lord is the material atmosphere, one of endless, ever-increasing anxiety and problems. So anyone who wants to be the Lord, then try to become Krishna's, the Lord of Krishna. Try to become Krishna's mother or father, or try to control Krishna by love, and then one will actually become the Lord. And if we reject Krishna, if we turn away from Krishna, then when we try to become the Lord of Maya, simply we'll get kicked. So, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Yeah, it's not possible. Therefore, it's a gradual process.
But when there's so many, we ask people to go and live in the temple, then they have to have quite some strong desires already.
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, what will they think? If we're not here to serve Krishna, what are we here for? No, we have to be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should dedicate my energies to Him. It has to be at least at that stage, otherwise we'll become bewildered what we're doing here. Of course, someone may come to the temple and they stay here for some time and hear the philosophy and become convinced. But it's not just philosophy, it takes some practice too. I mean, some devotees, if they came from practically nowhere, with little faith, conviction, moved into the temple, and by the association of devotees, they developed that faith. So that's possible too. But if I move into the temple and I don't think Krishna is God, and I think the devotees are just wasting their time, and I don't want to waste my time, then it's going to be very difficult to make any advancement. One at least has to come here to learn the science of Krishna consciousness. Yes. False ego? We have to develop intelligence. And that comes from hearing. Yeah, we have to hear. We hear the right thing, just like if you're in a dark room and you light a match, and the darkness can't put the match out. So if we actually hear real knowledge, then we'll understand that we're a spiritual soul, we'll understand that Krishna is God, and then we won't be an illusion anymore. You really understand that? You really understand that? Yeah. So, what do you understand?
What I understand is that you realize your soul and something in your body.
Yeah, how do you do that? Hearing. We have to hear submissively. The idea of actually, instead of being dictated by the body and the mind, we have to agree to be dictated by Krishna and Krishna's representatives. So if we really believe that we're not this body, that this body belongs to Krishna, then we have to agree to utilize the body in Krishna service. As soon as I think, yes, I'm not this body, but I like to use this body for what I want to do. I may not be the body, but I'm going to do with it what I want. Then we'll be captured by the false ego. We won't be able to realize that we're not the body. Just like we may understand that we're not the car, but we may feel free to drive our car wherever we want. So that just by understanding theoretically that we're not this body doesn't mean that we'll actually not be identified with the body or captured by it. So we not only have to understand that we're not the body, but we have to also practically agree to utilize the body, the mind, and the intelligence in Krishna's service. Then, when Krishna sees our sincere endeavor, then he'll gradually free us from our misconception of identifying with the body. You understand that?
We're 60%.
Well, that's pretty good. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. We're gonna try and go to Croatia, the Balkans today. See if Krishna desires it. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Is this the deeper import, you know? Reincarnation, you're reincarnating at every moment. What do you mean you can't experience it? Every moment you get a new body. How can you say you're not experiencing reincarnation? What's that? That's right, sure it was. Try and bring it back. Yes.
Every devotee is practically an ocean of devotion. Can it be something about pure emotions?
Every devotee, you mean? But you're quite advanced. I don't
know. No,
I
mean, every devotee is filled with bhakti. But what is it about? Pure bhakti emotions.
Well, if you see every devotee as being full of bhakti, you're doing pretty good. Most devotees don't see like that. So that's quite advanced. Pure bhakti? Well, probably when you see every devotee, you'll be overwhelmed with ecstasy. Just like I remember, we could use the Prabhupada as an example. Prabhupada is full of pure bhakti. That I remember one time when Prabhupada was visiting Boston in 1969. Before Prabhupada came up, I saw, all the picture, they had a picture of the Panchatattva, and it seemed to become quite enlivened. Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva. And then Prabhupada walked up the stairs, and the whole atmosphere became just like Vaikuntha. And all the devotees paid obeisances, and everyone was in Vaikuntha. So that's pretty good. That's quite, of course. That means that Bhavad Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtam Bhudat Swayam Vibho. That Vidura was told by Maharaj Yudhisthira that you're just like a holy place personified because you're carrying Krishna within the heart. Or the Dvaitacharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So one who's actually in Krishna consciousness, fully in Krishna consciousness, wherever they go, within the heart is Vrindavan. And it's not just like some imaginary, clouds in their heart or something. No, actually they're actually in Vrindavan, just like we think we're in reality now. But we're just in a dream. Someone is actually awakened and in Vrindavan, they're actually in Vrindavan. Wherever they go, the waves of ecstasy and the loving exchanges between Krishna and all his devotees in Vrindavan is actually transferred into the whole environment wherever they're passing. To such an extent that we can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that, for instance, Saranga Thakur, wherever he cracked his whip, then people become pure devotees. His son devotee, wherever he passed by, just by the atmosphere he created, people will become pure devotees. So that's quite an experience. So when we get that experience, we'll think that this devotee is quite advanced. Yeah.
The Chaitanya is actually the nectar of emotion. Can you something say about Krishna's Kavarashvidam?
Yeah, there's an ocean of emotion, transcendental emotion. very humble devotee, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
So by turning asana, sometimes the clouds clear up and you get a glimpse from Krishna. You say then you become proud. You know, maybe you fall down. Is it always because of pride, or is it just a limited amount we have reserved and then you go back to work?
No, it could also, I mean, pride is the chief reason. Because if we always remain in a very humble, it's not that, you know, suddenly we become proud. We're always proud. It's not like a new experience for ourselves. How did this happen? We're thinking we have so many qualities. We have so many assets. We have so many, you know, so many things going for us. And now we have so much but in the future, wow, my astrologer told me the future is going to be really bright. So we're thinking we're gaining, but the astrologer told me I might die in the future, but I guess he's pretty, sometimes he makes mistakes, so. No, we're always thinking I have so many things going for me. But actually we have nothing going for us. The only thing going for us is that somehow or another we're connected to the disciple succession, to Krishna. We can do something for Krishna and get out of this illusion that we have something going for us in the material world. We have some asset. The only thing really we can get is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is just an illusion. So when we remember that, then we can make some progress. And as soon as we forget that, then we fall down. But it's not like, you know, it's unusual to remember that for the neophyte devotee. And it's rare, you know, to remember it, but to speak of consistently. So therefore it takes some practice. Yes. Because in the Narayan features also have, there's Narayan forms which have those names also. I think we'll stop there because we have to leave, so. Thank you very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Pranam.